Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Chychrun, the defenseman's at the net. Now Carlson scores! A power play goal.
Here's McDavid. Working past Eichel. McDavid. Oh, Draisaitl.
Scores! McDavid and Draisaitl combine for the game winner.
Pushes it over to Draisaitl. On and off the stick into the empty net for the 2-0 series lead.
I don't want to talk about it, Marty. I don't want to talk about it because we talked about it too much yesterday and we may talk about it again. And it's not fair to single people out because we all make mistakes.
Officiating.
I really don't want to talk about it, Marty. This is really, really, really unfortunate that in another, well, and more electric game between Edmonton and Vegas,
yes,
that had everything, that there is an unfortunate reality that preceded the game-winning Edmonton goal, and that is a missed call. I didn't even have to look at the replay, and I was like, can opener, and it was a can opener by Arvidsson on McNabb, and it just stinks that this is a talking point.
And look, there's an injury on the play. Like, at the very least, like, you can probably converse and have a conversation with everybody and say, hey, do you guys see anything? Yeah, stick was right in his feet. And look, when that happened, I know we're programmed to kind of maybe, I don't want to say we are controlling the universe, but when that happened, if there's so many people all at once that think, here you go, Edmonton's going to score now in the next couple of minutes because they got a call, like they there was a missed call and they're going to score. Sure, it happened. It's like there's so many people that are thinking the same thing that it gets programmed into the world, right? And that happened. And it happens to be McDavid and Draisaitl on the 2-on-1, right? And then, okay. And it wasn't just that one. Like, Brent Kulak hit Jack Eichel with a high stick, like right in the face. Boom. Jack is down. Ah, like, no call. Now, they had to give the Oilers a five-minute power play. Yeah.
This is not about any of that.
No, and it was fine. Like, Nick Waugh cross-checks, who was it? I don't even remember who it was, but he cross-checked Trent Frederick. That's right. In the face. Like, it was a bad look. It's a five-minute major, yes. Okay, well, if you lose on that, then it's on you, Vegas.
Right.
But the fact that there was no call, and I hate, there's some people that say, look, in overtime, you have to be 100% sure. So if you're not sure, don't put your arm up. How are you not 100% sure on the trip by Arvidsson?
It's so easy. He had the puck. As you said, he was injured. And I'm always going to default. Not that in a split second or even a couple seconds after, you're going to process it this way. But you have the best way of looking at this. Always. It's like, flip it around. Like, if you make the call, who's complaining about this? Yeah. Like, yeah, the Oilers are going to be sore because they've just taken a penalty in overtime, but nobody can argue it, you know?
That was like Jack Drury for Colorado, Game 7, all mad that he took a penalty.
Yeah.
It's a penalty. Why are you mad? Exactly. Like Jared Bednar is not going to sit at the press conference after the game and say, we really got screwed on that call Drury. No, he's going to be mad at other that maybe weren't called, but he's not going to be mad at that one. And you're right. And I think, look, you can't think that way when it happens. But, look, you get the best people working. Yeah. It shouldn't be a debate, right? Like yesterday we talked about the, who was it that hit Aaron Ekblad on Joseph Woll in the crease, right? Mm-hmm. Well, do you know that I got that clip sent to me by three different people saying, can you imagine they didn't call up, not people that listened to our show, people that just wanted my opinion.
There's
on
three
it.
People that don't?
Well, maybe. They were not in our region. They're not in our region. So
we're global, baby.
We are global. I mean, I don't know if producer Jeff put that clip on social media. But anyway, all I'm saying is that there's people were like, what do you think of this? Like, this is open season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what Duffer was saying yesterday. Like, who's complaining more? And that's the way I always look at it is, who's going to have the biggest beef? And right now, Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights are down 2-0. They lose both games at home.
Yeah.
This is an overtime. Like, they have a beef. They have a beef. Now, does it change the reality of you're down 2-0 and you're going into Edmonton? No. Does it change the reality that Aiden Hill has not looked good? No. Like, I mean, the Darnell Nurse goal, come on. Like, this is a Darnell Nurse comes down the middle and he just shoots it, wrist shot, it beats. Like, Aiden Hill wasn't good. So you gotta find solutions.
But they're not going to move off of Aiden Hill, right?
No, they're not, no.
For
and
sure?
Look, I'm probably 99.5% sure. I'm leaving 0.5%. And if you were to go to somebody, you'd go to Akira Schmidt, but... I think you're keeping Aiden Hill. Now, if Calvin Pickard had played the way that Aiden Hill played, and not that Calvin Pickard was much better.
He had some great moments, though.
He had some really good moments. Save on Olofsson, I think the one back door, some great moments. The tying goal was very, very shaky. Like, I get it that, you know, you've got Carlson in front of the net, but Pietrangelo shoots it from the point. It goes straight in. Mm-hmm. There was some shaky moment, but that's what we found out of Calvin Pickard. He's not going to lose you the game. He's not going to win you the game, but he doesn't lose you the game. He just keeps you in the game. I feel like Aiden Hill probably lost them the game a couple of times yesterday.
Well, not on the game winner, certainly. Your odds are slim when facing McDavid and Draisaitl in a two-on-one situation on the rush. But, if you wanted to get technical about it, I'm sure you didn't love the way he approached trying to make the save on Draisaitl, but these are not my areas of criticism for a goalie when facing two of the world's elite.
I didn't love the way that he played the two-on-one, but I think I went to bed thinking, what would I have done in that situation? I would have panicked. I would have pulled a Leggio. I would have turned around and flipped the net. That's what I would have done. Like,
no,
it's
time
like
to do that. Oh,
yeah, well, that's an automatic goal now. So I would have said, at least they're not going to beat me. But I didn't love the way that he played it, because as soon as McDavid flipped the stick over to make the pass, like, you know, Hill was stuck. And maybe it's just the McDavid effect. Like, he comes in with a ton of speed, beats Jack, and then comes in. You're probably thinking, I better just take him. Mm-hmm. And if he moves it over, so be it. And that's what happened. Draisaitl just had the wide open net, put it in.
Man, sports is so cruel, right? And that's every game, every level, seemingly. But Jack had a three-point game, was excellent in so many ways, right? And again, the game is the game. It's excellent in so many ways, but we're looking at, and even Pietrangelo, like, coming back in, having an impact, and then, you know, if you're going to sit there and overanalyze, you're going to say, okay, well, what's Pietrangelo supposed to do in the two-on-one situation? And many people's default mechanism is don't let them pass it across, right? Well, guess what? It all happened with inside of 3 seconds, less than, from the time the puck came over the blue line and was in the back of the net.
So, my minus in, don't let McDavid on a breakaway. So right. Like force him and hope that maybe he misses the pass, the puck bounces.
Right.
Like you're hoping and praying at that time that the decision you take, mm-hmm. whatever decision you're going to take, that it's going to work. Well, it didn't work, but it wasn't the wrong decision.
Right. And then after starting the show the way that we did, talking about McNabb and taking a header into the boards, shoulder, if you will, based on the missed call on Arvidsson, now, like, might he even miss time? And he is quiet, reliable, consistent, forever Vegas Golden Knight. And yes, they are still well insulated to recover, and Edmonton is doing it without Matthias Ekholm, so this is all part of it. But it's literally the injury to insult in that situation that could linger here for Vegas in their 0-2 deficit.
Well, McNabb and Theodore are the top pair. And so when Pietrangelo came back, Bruce Cassidy still said, our goal is to have McNabb and Theodore against the McDavid-Draisaitl line. Yeah. And now that they're going to Edmonton, you know, you don't control the matchups, but you're trying to still use your best people and say, get over the board, go and try to have an impact. And so they may be missing 50% of that defense pairing that's going to play against Draisaitl and McDavid.
You may have steered us to the opening of the show because I knew how you felt about the missed call. Had I not started down that exact path, it was going to be about the million-dollar baby in the Oilers lineup right now, which is the perfect 6-0 Calvin Pickard.
Calvin Pickard.
Right. which can be... No, you can't even offset it. You're 6-0. It's the only thing that matters in the playoffs. Dude. But I know you're mesmerized by his 888 save percentage and the 6-0 record. Regardless, he fits into this, what you look at this time of year. How do you get more than value? Like, how do you get players to play above their perceived value at this time of year? And Pickard's still under contract next year for another $1 million. And Connor Brown is a UFA.
UFA.
Pending UFA after playing these years and with a horrifically slow start to his Oilers career. But he's a $1 million player. Massive impact right now. Corey Perry, 1.15. Massive impact right now on the Edmonton Oilers.
Evander Kane, $0 all year because he was on long-term IR. A massive impact.
And looks like a bargain next year at 5.1.
Yes.
Assuming he plays it out in Edmonton. Yes. And then you look at, okay, well, what are they up against right now? Just in this series alone. Mm-hmm. And you look at, okay, well, what did Vegas do to piece the roster together at the start of the season?
You're going to see Victor Olofsson?
They added Victor Olofsson at just over $1 million. Yes. They have added off waivers Brandon Saad, 1.5. Mm-hmm. They brought back Riley Smith. They're only paying 1.8. And again, you can debate the levels of impact here, but you know where I'm going with this.
And they don't have Pavel Dorofeev, who's at 1.8 next year still.
And it's a fascinating study in roster construction, is it not?
Because it's all about your value and if you're overplaying your value. And I get it. Your top guys still have to be your top guys. Like you have McDavid and Draisaitl, they have to be your top guys and they score in overtime. But what has been the difference in Edmonton and why were they able to beat LA and now taking a 2-0 lead? As you mentioned, Podkolzin, Connor Brown, Evander Kane, Corey Perry, those are the guys, John Klingberg playing on defense, having an impact. Those are the guys that, Jake Walman, these are the guys that
Well, they paid a first round price for him, though, Walman, so it's a little steeper.
If I'm looking at the Oilers at first look, I'm not going to say, well, Jake Walman has to have an impact. I'm going to say, well, Evan Bouchard has to have an impact. Matthias Ekholm has to be healthy.
Right.
That's what you're looking at. Right now, they're in and they're doing what they're doing. because their depth is coming through and playing above the expectation. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned Calvin Pickard, okay? This is an interesting study in goaltending because I still think Calvin Pickard is playing pretty much average to maybe even below average goaltending that you would want. I would not take Calvin Pickard as a number one goalie in the NHL for a regular season, but right now he's 6-0.
What about a number two?
I would take him as a backup for $1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, and you go out and play 20 games. But if my starter was hurt, I would say, ooh, we're going to struggle here. But Calvin Pickard somehow is 6-0. Somehow the Oilers have won six consecutive games coming back in the games. Mm-hmm. They were down 1-0 yesterday. They won, right? It's the way it is. Calvin Pickard has given up one goal more than expected so far in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's given up one more goal than expected. So that's not an above average goaltender. That's the below average goaltender. Mm-hmm. The difference is that Stuart Skinner had given up 6.5 goals more than expected in two games.
Right.
So they're not asking Calvin Pickard. And one of those games would have been like going to OT and they got scored in the last minute. So that's the difference. You're the Oilers. You're kind of winning and understanding that you're going to get average goaltending, and you're going to have to overcome that with your players, which they're doing right now.
It's all you need when you are blowing the doors off of the competition with a by far goals per game of 4.5, number one in the NHL. You know it. Everyone knows it. It just makes life easier. When we look at these value deals, and yes, there's already been an extension signed for Logan Thompson. There is nothing more amusing to me, however, than looking at Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson combining to make less than 1.9 combined. Mm-hmm. What a tandem. What a tandem.
Charlie Lindgren was not great this year after signing his extension. The numbers dropped. Still. But it's still like, okay, you got him as a backup, and now you got Logan Thompson as your number one. And the way that it worked this year is they kept rotating all year. Yeah. You knew Logan Thompson was the starter, but they rotated. Like, who's the better goalie? Logan Thompson, but they still rotated. Yeah.
Remember why he was, though. When we broke this down on two occasions when Buffalo played Washington this year, he was getting by far the most run support of any netminder. Yeah. He was half a goal per game. He was closer to a goal per game higher than his teammate, Charlie Lindgren. But he was also almost half a goal better than many starters in the league. It was an anomaly, to say the least. So sometimes then when you go through the correction period, it's like, okay, let's take a breath here. We're not going to anoint Logan Thompson as a Vezina finalist for the next three seasons, you know. But there's also a value to how a team plays with certain players in the lineup, right?
So when it comes to Vezina Trophy, the GMs vote on the Vezina Trophy. Yes. And often it's about who has been in the conversation, who has elevated their game in the past, that it's not a surprise this year, right? I think that you look at a lot of times, well, this year, Darcy Kemper, he's been around. He won a cup. It's like, okay, him, Connor Hellebuck, Andrei Vasilevsky. Okay, good. Was Logan Thompson one of the goalies that was really good all season long? Mm-hmm. 100%. Could he have made Team Canada for the Four Nations faceoff? Yes. But no, he didn't. Why? Because it's like he hasn't been there yet. Now, because he's there, he's on the big platform and performing at an unbelievably high level.
Pretty good last night.
So good last night. Carolina dominated again with the shot attempts, but I think the quality was better with Carolina last night, and Logan Thompson was once again fantastic. What made me think last night, Duffer, let's go back to game three, Montreal, Washington in Montreal. You have Samuel Montembeau getting hurt. Dobesh comes in. Thompson gets hurt. Charlie Lindgren comes in. Montreal wins the game. Mm-hmm. Game four, we're all thinking, who's going to play goal?
Yeah.
Montembeau's out. Dobesh is playing. Thompson comes in and they win the next two games. And it's like, boom, bingo, bango, they're done. Mm-hmm. If Thompson doesn't come back, there's a big, big part of me that thinks that Montreal coulda, woulda, shoulda won that series.
For sure.
But Thompson was huge in game 4 and 5 and has been huge now in the first two games, even though they lost game 1 to Carolina. He was fantastic in that game.
Series is 1-1. They had a, as you say, better effort from an analytics standpoint. It was still 86-50 for Carolina in shot attempts, but that is a far cry from 94-34, which it was in game 1. And it's also why I didn't, even though the Devils ended up not being able to make it as long a series as I was expecting in the first round, the Devils had a marked improvement in game 2 over game 1, despite it being very Carolina-esque the way that series started. So these things don't surprise me. These are natural adjustments that happen in basically every series. But now moving forward, it's going to be really interesting to just see whether the Capitals, like, how, like, it's 1-1. Like, what are you thinking about this series now?
Well, what I'm thinking about this series is that it's 1-1. They're going to Carolina.
Did you take Carolina?
Huh?
Did you
I picked Carolina in 6.
Yeah.
And it's the one producer Jeff and I were talking before the show, and I said, okay, I picked all the series to end in 6. But if you would ask me, I thought Vegas had a better chance to close out Edmonton in less than 6. Mm-hmm. I thought Dallas had a better chance to close out Winnipeg in less than 6. And I thought Florida had a better chance to close out Toronto in less than 6. But Carolina and Washington was going to go 6, potentially even 7. That's the one that I think can go the longest. Now, I mean, Toronto's up to nothing. Edmonton's up to nothing. Mm-hmm. Dallas could go up to nothing tonight. We don't know. I mean, it's going to change the way that I see the other series.
Yeah.
And when they play it on the ice, my dad used to always say, you got to play it on the ice. You got to play it on the ice. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, but for these type of situations. But I look at Carolina in Washington, and I'm thinking, what's missing for Washington right now to say they're the better team? And I feel like they're missing Ovechkin production. Like, you know, like everybody else is getting involved. Like, I know it's 2 games, but
they were saying the same thing about Rantanen 4 games into the Dallas Colorado.
Yeah, he had 1 assist.
Series.
But what happened? If without Rantanen, Dallas probably doesn't win this series. And so I'm like, okay, I still think Carolina wins because overall their team and the way they play, I really like what they're doing. And now they're getting goaltending. Like Freddie Anderson was good and they're getting goaltending. But if Washington has Ovechkin stepping up now, he had 4 goals in 5 games in the first round. Great. But can he has nothing, no points in the first 2. Can he turn it on? And we've seen Ovechkin turn it on. If Ovechkin turns it on and all of a sudden the power play clicks in with him and everything, it's going to be tough. Now, Carolina gave up their first power play goal of the playoffs yesterday. Great for Washington to get a power play goal, but still think they need Ovechkin to give him the best chance for me to win that round.
And that takes it back right to the start of the show, where after surviving the 5-minute penalty kill, had Vegas been afforded another power play opportunity last night, they were already riding 50% going 2 for 4, thanks to the Eichel, Stone, Olofsson, you know, offensive fireworks. So yeah, their chances could have been really, really, really good of skating away with that victory last night. It didn't happen. But you did pique my curiosity when you
I want to know what that conversation was like with the supervisor and the refs after the game. Like, you know, because we don't know. And I've talked to referees that are like, and I remember I made this terrible call and I get it. And often they, you know, the Carey Fraser high sticking, right? Gretzky on Gilmore, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He likes to defend it. He likes to say, oh, I saw it as a follow through and it was a follow through and whatever. Ah, you know what? That would have been a 5 and Wayne would have been ejected. Mm-hmm. But how do you defend that last night? So I want to see how that conversation goes between the league, the supervisor, and the refs after the game.
The first person you call is Dave Jackson to defend your situation.
He's probably sitting with the referees, and I love Jax. Jax is great.
Too.
I love Jax. He's awesome.
I
think they put him in tough situations sometimes, like yesterday. What happened here, Jax? Well, he cross-checked him in the face. There's nothing you can do about that.
Like, we're all seeing it. Like, No. Anyway, you piqued my curiosity when you briefly mentioned your dad and, you know, saying you got to play it on the ice. And you're like, obviously, I'm trying to envision you as a kid and whether you reacted that way to your dad in any situation. But more importantly, how would you have reacted and or engaged with your mom, given that it's Mother's Day this weekend? I want to know a good mom story from you here as we head to our first break.
Okay, I'll tell you a good Mother's Day story. And this is kind of funny and embarrassing. But anyway, my soccer team was chosen to give out flowers on the steps of the church in our local little community to mothers as they walked into, you know, the service on Sunday morning. So I'm there and I'm probably like 11, 12 years old. And I'm giving out flowers saying Happy Mother's Day to all the girls. Like, they would be 10 years old, 15, 20, 30, 50. I'm giving out flowers saying Happy Mother's Day. And we ran out of flowers. And then they came to me and they're like, wait, what happened? I'm like, we don't have any more flowers. Well, I gave them up to all the girls that walked in. They're like, you're supposed to give them up to all the mothers that walked in. Oh, so if they walked in, what, mom with four little girls, that's five flowers that are gone. And I did that. And it was a bit of an embarrassing moment for me because I felt like I had failed my community and the mothers that were walking in that weren't getting any flowers. That I still remember to this day. I'm 47 years old. It's like 35 years ago and I still remember it.
Well, my favorite Gord Miller moment when he was broadcasting the World Championships on TSN.
Yeah.
This was probably in the 90s or early 2000s. Anyway, one of my favorite, not that it matters, but one of my favorite defensemen ever was Mattias Norrström. Mm-hmm. And so here we are, World Championships, Mother's Day. Norrström is in the penalty box and he is screaming obscenities at the player for Canada in the box. And he used what you can imagine you shouldn't say, especially on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And it comes across loud and clear. And Gord's like, well, Happy Mother's Day, everyone. The timing of it was so good. And I was like, oh boy. But
the best Mother's Day moment ever. And we talk about Buffalo related, had to be the Matt Barnaby hat trick on Mother's Day against Montreal, where his mom's in the suite, right? He points out to her the whole thing. Like that was 98 playoffs
when Barnaby scored. Sweep of Montreal.
Yeah, that was.
Oh,
yeah,
look at you and producer Jeff on the same page here.
I know. He's already gotten the Barnaby viz there with the old Empire Sports Network in the background. But that was. So I was a Black Ace that series. Andy Moog started the series. He was lit up. He got pulled. He apparently said he was injured. Jocelyn Thibault came in, did not do well. Jose Theodore played. We have the Michael Pekka, I believe, was double overtime or in
Montreal.
Game three.
Yep.
And then, which I was so upset, Duffer.
Yes, I know. You mentioned
that cut into our going out time. Like, we were all ready to go out and have a good time in Montreal. And we weren't playing. Who cares, right? So, but that was a fantastic series. One that also led to the media in Montreal finding a scouting report on the goaltending from Montreal in the garbage. One of our guys, like, we used to get sheets, and one of our guys probably says, I don't need this, and put it in the garbage. And a Montreal reporter saw it, pulled it out, and printed it. And every goal we scored on Andy Moog was basically on the sheet the way that we had scored it.
Amazing. And at least in that situation, a Sabres victory over three different netminders. Yes. Didn't quite go their way in 2010 against Philadelphia. Which one is it? Why am I blanking on this?
It's 2010, probably. No, 2011.
No, probably 2011.
2011.
Yeah.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
The Ville Leino, Danny Briere year, right? They would have faced Bob and Bush and Leighton, potentially. Is that right?
Well, 2010 is when they went to the finals.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah. They, 2011 was with Bob, Bush, and Leighton. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well.
That does make sense.
On that note, let's get you back in Bandit Land a week from today as the finals begin. This is 5 straight seasons the Bandits are in the championship. They are 2-time defending champs, 6-time champions overall. No team has won 7 in league history, so the quest on that front continues for Buffalo. Friday, May 16th, 7:30 p.m., bandits.com/tickets. They'll take on Saskatchewan or Halifax. That series will conclude this weekend. The Rush currently leading the best of 3, 1-0 against Halifax. Again, bandits.com for tickets. We're back after this. Shayna Goldman in her Friday time slot.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are back, and it's the back half of the Friday show. Happy 5950 Day to those who are celebrating, our friends over at New Era Cap. You can go see them at neweracap.com or head to the main store on Delaware in Buffalo. It's a perfect shopping day, and I am anxiously awaiting the Amherst beginning next week, which we talked a lot about earlier this week. Shayna Goldman, welcome to the show. As you know, this was a fashion segue because we haven't taken a single moment to talk about the Utah Mammoth. So the floor is yours.
Okay. The name, I'm going to give, I need like a drum roll. I need drama. I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 10, the name. 4.5. I'm done with these collective nouns. I hate it. No, this is not fun for me. I feel like there are better names, there are better options. Yes, everyone's going to clamor over Yeti, and I get it. But to me, Outlaws was the move. I think I told you guys, like, I wanted saloon doors for them to kick their way out of. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would have been sick. That being said, could you put a mammoth head on the ice with the tusks and everything? Love that. The tusks up, 10 out of 10. The jerseys. I have takes. I have thoughts. I don't love the color scheme. But for this name, I'm okay with the color scheme, but I don't love the decision to go with a black primary jersey. I think there's way too much black. And it's not as nice on the ice versus a color that would really pop. And I think going with that snowy blue that nobody else has would have really allowed them to own the branding. I think the logo looks sick. I like the details of it. The M with this on the that is at the top of the mammoth head. And it has the state of Utah in that, I think is really great. I think the state of Utah patch with the hockey stick is beautiful too. Like, make merch with those embroidered. But I have an issue with the fact that the home and the aways don't match. I think the move would have been a third black jersey that says Utah diagonally to give them a vibe of year one. But I think for year two, where you're trying to own your branding after only being Utah Hockey Club, you need to have that branding on the road. You need consistency between your jerseys to make this the new vibe of you and not be flashing back to that nameless year.
Okay, so is mammoth a problem for when you do your writing because it's singular? And I use that because sometimes I have to write like an email to people when I do some Montreal Canadiens stuff. And like, I often want to use singular when I do the Montreal Canadiens because it was the Club de Hockey Canadien. So it was singular, but then it became the Montreal Canadiens. So, and then it's like you have to mix the singular and the plural and vice versa. Is that the same thing with mammoth, like the Colorado Avalanche for you? That's an issue.
Yeah. Cause like the Wild and the Kraken I can deal with. It's not that bad. You just go apostrophe S. It's no big deal. But the Avalanche is the one, like, it's the phrasing around it. And every, like, grammar bot is going to be like, hey, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to write and tell me I have a million issues. And it's like, can you just focus on where the actual problems are? This is not one of them. Like, I get it, but no. So I feel like I'm anticipating an issue, but I'm trying to remember, like, at least there is a name that I'm not saying Utah 15,000 times and hockey club and the other team and, like, at least there's a name. But no, that is a thing. That does drive me up a wall. Like, can we make this easier for me selfishly? Just be the Mammoths, please.
I do like Mammoth. I do like the name. I'll be honest with you. I think that was the one I wanted, but that's okay. you know, I like that better than Outlaws because I feel like what's the Outlaws? What does that have to do with it? At least it has a relation to maybe Salt Lake and Utah. Whatnot. So I'm okay with it. I'm giving the name a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay, well, and the jersey. What are we giving the jersey?
I agree with the black jersey.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen the blue their home dark because it wouldn't have been a home dark. It would have been like a colored home. Like, it would have been different. So I'm going to give it a 5 because the one they got right with, it says Utah when they go on the road, it doesn't have the logo. And at home they have the logo, but I don't like the dark black.
Are they going to be any good next year? They made strides this year. What are you expecting?
I do think they're going to be good. Like, I thought they showed a lot of promise this year, and I thought they showed a lot of promise that last year in Arizona before everything hit the fan, and I can't blame the players for, like, the off-ice dragging onto the ice, and it was chaotic and terrible for them, so we put that aside. Mm-hmm. I think that there were a lot of injuries, and you look at that back end in particular, and you look how many games they were without, you know, John Marino and Durzi. Like, having a healthy decor is going to make a huge difference. Having both goaltenders in place is going to make a difference because Vemelka was very good for them, but he had to play a ton. And, you know, not everyone's prepared for playing a million games in a row in this day and age. But I think you see the potential with that up-and-coming talent. Guys like Logan Cooley, like guys like Dylan Gunther, those are stars. And you have Clayton Keller in place who already is a star. So it's promising. And if ownership is still willing to keep investing the way that they did year one, that offseason, they were aggressive, that's going to be a really good thing for them next season.
Let me move on to the playoffs quickly because goalie Bob, Duffer and I had David Legio on earlier this week, and him and I did our top 10, well, not top 10, top 8 goalies left in the playoffs or whatnot. I had Bob first because I wanted to just say, hey, he still is the Stanley Cup reigning champ and all of that. Not that he was good in the first round. He wasn't great in the first game, not great in the second game. Are we worried about goalie Bob and what he's been doing with Florida right now? Are we more worried about Florida and the team not being able to respond with Toronto? What's the deal in Florida and where's the worry meter at right now?
I'm a little bit worried, and I think it's his whole body of work I think about, right? Like, I know we can get distracted by the last 2 years and how good he was for the Panthers, right? And playoff Bob took on a new meaning. But it meant something else for a very long time, right? When he went into the playoffs in 2023, he wasn't even the starting goalie. They gave Alex Lyon the net because he was sick. And when he returned, they were like, okay, but Alex Lyon is still cooking, right? That's not your traditional way of thinking about your starting goaltender.
Yeah.
So I am a little bit worried. I know everyone's talking about like, oh, wow, they figured him out. It's high glove. Like, okay, guys, like, That's been a pattern his whole career. Like, this is not news. I know if it happens in Toronto, it becomes breaking news. But, you know, I'm a bit worried about him. But it's the whole picture, right? Because I think for the Panthers, you really see where the potential is. And it's that third line. That third line is a massive advantage for them. I think Marchand, Lucarelli, and Lundell have been absolutely great for them the whole postseason so far. I think they're outscoring opponents. I want to say it's 8-1. I have to double check the numbers at 5-on-5. They've been great. But I if I'm them, I want more from the top six. Right, because Nylander is bringing it for the top six, and you're getting goals from Marner and Knies, and those response goals from Toronto that we have never ever seen them have before in the postseason. Like, this is a completely new team. It feels like it's not having that counterpunch, and it's not getting enough out of the top six. I think the Barkov Matthews matchup is neutralizing them both a bit. So you need that second line for the Panthers to do a little bit more offensively.
So the last two Stanley Cup champions are facing 0-2 deficits right now, which is the more likely to emerge from it?
The Panthers. I could see them turning it on. I could see them turning things around. I think the games are so close that I'm not worried about them yet. Plus, they're playing the Leafs, and you never know what can happen with the Leafs, right? Like, you know, a lot of the numbers are favoring the Panthers so far in this series, and sometimes it's score effects and things like that, and the way that the Leafs play is different from years past. But with Vegas, I am actually worried. I think they are so totally missing Dorofeev. I know Olofsson had those two power play goals last night, but I think that second line with Dorofeev on it, instead of asking Saad or Pearson to be the guy, it's a big difference right there. And I think that they were just missed opportunities for Vegas. I think in game one, they didn't bring in enough. In game two, I think that they still were playing to the Oilers instead of owning their home ice and owning the matchups as best as they could. And you look at it and you go, well, Jack Eichel did a really good job slowing down and containing Connor McDavid in this one-to-one matchup that they have at even strength, and they're loading up their best guys, right? It's Stone, it's Carlson, it's Eichel going up against Draisaitl and McDavid. But you can do that all game, and then you see the play like the game winner, and Eichel, there's nothing he can do there. I mean, maybe he should have taken a penalty to trip him, something like that, right? Because Connor McDavid made him look so bad. And it just shows the speed and the skill and the ability of these elite talents in Edmonton that they know how to turn it on when it matters most. So you can hold him off the board all game. Doesn't matter at the end of the day, because this is the play that we're all going to remember.
Okay. So how do you balance now? Like, I look at Calvin Pickard, I would not have him as a number one goaltender in any of the 32 teams in the National Hockey League, but he's 6-0 in the playoffs. And I'm like, okay, but regular season's different. Like, having him as a number one, that's not good. Like, Matt Pacioretty in Toronto, I wouldn't play Pacioretty top two lines in a regular season, but now in the playoffs it works. Or Corey Perry, top line with McDavid and Draisaitl. How do you balance when fans talk to you about their team and saying, well, they need to find guys like this that could play in the playoffs, but, I mean, in Buffalo, we haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. How do you balance in, we need guys that can play in the playoffs, but we also need to make the playoffs, so those guys will not help you make the playoffs?
In a perfect world, you're going to have guys like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl who are elite in the regular season and elite in the playoffs, but realistically, that is just not going to happen, right? So I think it's just a balancing act. You see like the New Jersey Devils, right? They have guys like Hughes and Bratt and Hischier, but they also have someone like Andre Palat, who does not contribute enough in the regular season at this point in his career, but you know he is a 16-game player in the postseason. You can have one or two of those guys, but you also need to make the playoffs. So you need to make sure that you have enough oomph to make the playoffs, and now you have the guys that are going to help you when you get there. And hopefully, at some point, the guys that you have that are helping you get to the playoffs are going to be the guys contributing, and sometimes there's a learning curve to it, right? Like, you look at Wyatt Johnston, year one in Dallas, very good in the regular season, not good in the postseason. You look at Cole Perfetti, he was scratched 4 to 5 games last year for Winnipeg in the playoffs, and now look at what he's doing. So ideally, you can just help those guys, and that's why this playoff experience matters, right? Because it gets you that seasoning to understand what it takes to win the regular season. Now here's what a playoff environment looks like, and now you have to learn how to be good in that and train yourself a different way. But until then, you find those guys like the Palats and the Perrys and go, okay, they're not 82-game players, so we have to just keep them in when we can, and they're going to be in a different role. They're not going to be playing top 6 minutes. You get to the postseason, you unlock them a little bit differently, but you can't have too much of that in your lineup because – how are you going to get to the playoffs? It's very tricky to balance.
I just want to follow up on that New Jersey comment. Did you hear Tom Fitzgerald say our group is not good enough? Like, you know, they basically are going to make a lot of changes. Like, what did you make of them making the playoffs despite their injuries and basically saying not good enough?
I would say, Tom Fitzgerald, you should have done a better job getting that team some scoring depth, because that was an issue very early in the season. That bottom six did not contribute enough, and guys like Nason were good additions, but I think that they still needed more than that. And I think if you're going to go into the deadline and say, no, we're still focusing on the playoffs, instead of like taking a more casual approach, they didn't. They went out and, you know, spent for Dumoulin because they needed someone to replace Siegenthaler, then you could have gotten one or two more like cheap guys to help that scoring depth. I see where they could do changes around their core. I think in net, they have answers, right? Finally, okay, you can focus elsewhere. On defense, they definitely have some answers too. It's the forward group, because they had such a deep lineup a couple of years ago. I think to get another third line scorer would be huge for them, because Dawson Mercer has not been that, right? Eric Howell is not the perfect scoring depth that you could have either. Guys like Cotter are good to have, but you just need a little bit more there. So that's where I would think that they would focus this summer. I think if they get too far away from that and start changing too many other things, they're going to set themselves back.
Yeah, I think their defense corps is in pretty good shape when healthy, which obviously is not going to be the case when the season starts, presumably with Kovacevic getting hurt at the end. Regardless, Dallas decided they needed a boost in scoring prior to the deadline, and it would appear that it's paying off. What does Mikko Rantanen have in store for us tonight?
Who's to say, right? And I think, you know, you look at Game 7 and how impressive that was to do it against his former team, to have a third period hat trick, to show the star power, to score, to even strength, to score on the power play, to do everything and more and be clutch. Great. Wonderful. To come into Winnipeg and now do that and to score two of those goals on the fourth line. And yes, the matchups are going to be different on the Jets side, right? Because they're not going, we're going to put our best shutdown guys against the Stars fourth line. Those should be easier minutes. And you can't now with Mikko Rantanen getting double shifted. That's something you now have to prepare for. He can score with anyone. He does. Take all of the narratives that you have heard since he got traded from Colorado and throw them out the window. They were bad then and they look even worse now. It's like old takes exposed. Please, like, we need to talk about that. He did not forget how to play hockey, but he is settled and he has chemistry. And now that group is even deeper because you have Jason Robertson back. Good luck to anyone going up against them because they have three scoring lines and it looks like they're figuring out how best to deploy them.
Pete DeBoer, the best coach left in the eight teams right now for using Rantanen in that way and being able to overcome Miro Heiskanen and not being around?
No, but I will give him a lot of credit. I think I'm going to give Jim Neal more credit on the team building there because he gave him a totally star-powered roster. I think my number one coach right now is still Spencer Carberry. He really does impress me, and I like how he handled the Tom Wilson line last night to free them up after a bad game one. So I'm very curious how he takes this on the road.
Thank you, as always. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shannon Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
No, but we are getting close to Mother's Day. Marty, what are your big plans this weekend? What will you share with your mom after all these years?
I am going to share that I'm going to do a lot of landscaping work this weekend.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it all done and be ready. I'll say, look at how pretty all of it looks and the mulch and all of that. I love doing that stuff. It's a lot of work, but it gets me out there and get, you know, the gloves on and the shovel in the ground and let's go. I did some edging yesterday. Edging is probably the worst. Like, seriously, like, it's so, like, tedious, like little edging, and then you have to pick it all up. It was awful. What are you going to do Sunday?
I'm going to visit my mom. So, yeah, so yes.
Well, maybe make sure you say hi to Mama Duff. She's
a
big fan, and I love.
She will probably catch this show on delay. So your message to her now will be received sooner than
Happy
when
Happy Mother's Day, Mama Duff. That's great. I love it. So, you know what we did yesterday, talking about like Mother's Day and things like that, and kids, and I asked my two youngest girls. We asked my two youngest girls questions about things from the 80s. Like, what are the yellow pages? What is burning a CD? What is a collect call? They had no idea. And it was funny, their answer, like a collect call, is that like a conference call? Like burning a CD, is that you're listening to it too much? Like, it was so funny. So try that with your young teenagers and see what they say.
Well, my teenagers aren't young anymore, as you know. But yes, I have a feeling they straddled the line and might know some of those answers a little more than others. Have a great weekend. We'll see you soon.